talking about kingdom resources, okay? And we're talking about how to access and release kingdom resources into our lives. We're not just a bunch of religious people going through the motions, but we are God's people deliberately going somewhere where God has taken us. And we've got to remember that. Okay, we've got to remember that. We've got to remember that. Yeah, we've got to remember that. Never lose sight of that. We're not here on a Sunday just to go through the motions. Oh, it's Sunday morning, we go to church, we sing a song, we hear the sermon, we say a prayer or two and then go home. No. This is your equipping station. This is where you get the meat, the food that you need to, that propels you and keeps you during the week. Amen?
Amen.
And this is where you also come and give your praise to God, where God is glorified. And, you know, and we see the benefits of that corporately at times and individually and personally at times as well. Now, okay, last week I began to talk to you about this subject, okay? Accessing spiritual resources, okay? Accessing spiritual resources. I gave you two statements last week. And I'm going to start off a little bit different. And I'm going to give you some information. I don't know how the Lord is going to really lead through this. I might not get through everything today, but that's okay. I want to get straight to the core of what I'm saying today that will propel you for next week. Next week, you need to be here. Next week, Sunday, you need to be here. Because I'm going to say some things, okay? Part of my job as a pastor is to bring correction to things, okay? Every single pastor, and you'll know this, every single pastor that invites anybody to preach here in the church, and this is why when I go to preach in churches, I take it very seriously. I follow spiritual protocols in that house because it's important to reverence and to respect the house so that the frequency of the spirit is not interrupted. And when that is interrupted, something else happens and the flow doesn't flow. So I'm going to say some things next week, okay? That will culminate on what I've been teaching over the past 2 weeks, today and last week. So it's very important that you are here next week. Otherwise, it won't all completely tie together. All right, now, before I even go into that, let me just mention it. Last week I mentioned to you, I said that there are two things that, as Christians, we need to remove from our lives. And both of them are ignorances. Number one, I said to you, a lot of Christians are ignorant of the spiritual resources that God has provided for his people. And we need to get rid of that. And I can't remember if we looked at scriptures pertaining to that, maybe not. But you know them by now. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. For my people, perish because of lack of not whose people? God's people. God was talking. He said, my people. Those who know me, okay, are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. All right, that's ignorance in play. Number two. Well, let me give you another scripture. Isaiah 5:13. My people are in captivity for the same thing, for lack of knowledge. So not only people are perishing, Christians are perishing, but Christians are also in captivity. The devil has them bound now with... Here we say, with information that's wrong because of the ignorance that exists in their lives. So those two scriptures alone are enough for us to say, no, I will not be ignorant in Jesus' name of what God has provided for me. Number two, I mentioned last week that not only are they ignorant of God's resources, what God has provided, but a lot of Christians are also ignorant of how to convert those spiritual resources into material possessions. How to convert those resources, those spiritual resources, into material possessions for our life and living. You see, it's not all super spiritual. God wants the realities of heaven, okay, to be manifest here in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I think what I'll do is, I'll go straight into some stuff now that's not on the screen. Now, I've said to you, and I've been repeating this over the Easter, I said Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and what he did when he rose again, he made what we call a salvation package. That salvation package is available for you and I today. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit before I go into anything on the screen. I'm going to give you some notes very quickly, so write this down. You know by now, if you're coming here long enough, you'll know by now that there are two Greek words for salvation. One of them is soteria, and one of them is sozo. So let's start off with soteria. Soteria is a noun, okay? Sozo is a verb. Soteria is everything or the results of what God has done for us. That's what is described as soteria in the New Testament. And it's in the New Testament because it's two Greek words and it's only found in the New Testament. As you know, the Old Testament is Hebrew. Alright? So, I say it again. Soteria is the result of what God has already done for His people. So, what has God done for His people? He has provided preservation. That's a noun. Protection. That's what God has provided. Now, provision, healing, safety, and soundness. And Clue said deliverance. I heard that, Clue. And deliverance. You can't put that in there. Okay? All right? But deliverance is more along the side of a verb. All right? And I'm coming, that's where I'm coming to sozo in a minute. All right? So let me give you a couple scriptures for soteria. Well-known scriptures. Romans 10, verse 10. Alright? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, soteria, your preservation, your protection, your deliverance, your safety. And everything gained, nothing missing. You can put that there as well. That's soteria. Let me give you another scripture with soteria. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, this is Paul talking to the Christians at Philippi, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work it out, Paul said. Figure it out, work it out. You need healing, work out how you're going to get healing. You need soundness in your life, in your body, in your relationships. Work out how you are going to get it. It's already provided, it's part of the package, but you've got to access that package and you've got to work it out. And essentially, that's what this message is about. Removing the second ignorance. How to access those spiritual resources and convert them into material possessions. And I'm going to show you how to do that today. Work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So that's soteria. Let's go to sozo very quickly. Sozo is another word used for salvation in the New Testament. Both words are similar, but they are different. Sozo, as I said to you just now, is a verb. And that verb means to save. It means to deliver. Remember, now a verb is a doing word. So this is something that is done. It means to rescue. It means temporal deliverance as well as spiritual deliverance. We have a mindset sometimes where we think everything is spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. No. If your spiritual doesn't boil down to your practical in your life, then your spiritual is vain. Everything boils down to our practical living. So if you're not practicing this word, you're not doing the will of God. Because it's God's will for you to live His word. Can I get an amen? If you didn't want. Can I get a louder amen? So, sozo, alright? Temporal as well as spiritual deliverance, to rescue, to save, to deliver. Now, Romans chapter 10 again, and verse 9 has that word in it. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the word sozo. You will be sozoed. You will be delivered. You will be free. You will be rescued. doing well. But notice, you've got to believe in your heart. You've got to confess with your mouth. So that's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let me give you one more, then I'm going to move on. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been sozo. By grace, God's love in action, loving kindness, you have been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you can't save yourself. And by the way, that word sozo refers to, well, as I said, it's a verb already, but it refers to, in the context of salvation, God doing his part so that you can do your part. So there's a part you have to play. You can't just sit down and say, well, I'm saved in Jesus' name. No, you've got to get up and you've got to put it into action. All right? And that's what the scriptures teach us. Now, very quickly, we're talking about salvation package, and that's a package that God has provided for us. Okay? Soteria, the now, what God has provided. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures that talks about our inheritance in Christ. Because you see, the package comes with beautiful things inside it. We just named some of them. Healing. Deliverance. What else did I say?
Provision.
Provision. What else? Protection. Safety. Sorry? Preservation, yeah? Sorry?
Healing.
Healing, we said that. What else? Soundness. I think we said it at the same time. See, we're husband and wife, we've been married a long time, so she's on the right frequency as me, so that's okay. All right, so we have an inheritance, okay? Write these scriptures down. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Now, let me... 1 Peter 1, I want to read this one. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Oops. Right, it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So there's a beautiful start. Let's read the next verse. "To an inheritance," come on, shout inheritance.
Inheritance.
Yeah, that's what we get from God. We're inheriting things from the Lord through our salvation package. That's what God has made available to us. "To an inheritance," listen to it, "incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." So that's beautiful, because specifically this verse is really talking about an inheritance. But you're going to see in a moment, it's not just when we get to heaven. This one's talking about when we get to heaven. The end of verse 5 just mentioned that. Reserved for us when we get to heaven. So there's an inheritance that we are to get. And we know that because we taught here about crowns and about rewards. Alright, so if you remember those teachings and they're on the website, audio files, download them, read them, listen to them. Can't read it. Listen to them. Okay, they're there before they're deleted, by the way, because I'm going to be deleting sermons. I've got to make space for more. So I'm going to be deleting some. They're not going to be there forever. So listen to them or download them, even better still. And save them and listen to them. Alright, that's why I record things, so that it's for your benefit. You will never get everything I'm saying today by just listening here and now. You've got to listen again. Alright, so 1 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4. Okay, we have an inheritance. Romans chapter 8, 14 to 17. It says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit." I'm sort of summarizing these verses. "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. And if we are sons, then we're heirs." H-E-I-R-S. We are heirs of God. In other words, an heir is someone who is set to receive something because it's due to them legally and justly. Please note that. In life, most times when you inherit something, the person who you inherited it from has died. In Christendom, the person that we are inheriting something from has already died. But guess what? He rose again.
Amen.
What a beautiful picture. That confuses the world. So we're getting something from someone who died but is alive. And that's our salvation package. So we're heirs of God. All right? Because we are the sons and daughters of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Wow. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Any children of Abraham here? Any children of Abraham here? Then you are heirs according to the promise. In other words, if what God has promised Abraham, you have a right, you have access to. It's yours. Alright, Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Wow. And I'll give you one more. I mean, I could go on. James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, which is salvation, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And that's a beautiful thing coming from our beautiful Father that we love and that we serve. Write these two scriptures down as well. Romans 8:17 and Galatians 4 verse 7. Romans 8:17 and Galatians 4 verse 7. These scriptures are very key. So when you go home, read those two and meditate over what I have already given you. Right, so we know that we have a package, and the package is salvation. And in that package, God has already provided it, for we don't have to ask for it. If you're a Christian, you have it. And God is saying, this is your inheritance. This is what I have provided for you. And it's all of this is building up to not just healing, but including healing. Because we've already identified healing as part of the salvation package. So we've got to understand, God has already made it available to us. So how do I then make a claim of that? Well, I'm going to show you that. And I think what I'll do is, I think I'll hold on a little bit. I may do an illustration. But let me move on and let's just talk about, because we're getting to the root of that today. I want to get to one of the important keys of actually converting the spiritual resources into the material, bringing it down into where we live, into practical resources that God has made available to us. But let's remind ourselves about last week. We spoke about what is faith. We spoke about why we need it, and we spoke about how do we get it. Then we went into the second key. We touched the second key, which is our hearts. And today, I'm going to talk about, well, putting faith on your hearts. How do you do that? Our mouth and confession. Key number four, how to release faith. And we're going to just touch on the spirit of faith as well at the very end. So, let's talk about it now a little bit. We touched on it last week. We started talking about it. Our heart. I want to give you a couple more scriptures at least. So that we can flow on from there. So let me just get right into it. Psalm 16 and verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I did a little research on this, and I reminded myself some time ago. I reminded myself of what I have done. And I made a little bit of a note here. Let me just read it. Okay. Night seasons. That's the word, the Hebrew word, layil. Layil, L-A-Y-I-L, okay? And this is what it means. It means night, it means midnight, it means the period of time between sunset and sunrise. Now, this word for night can be used literally, so it can mean a literal night, at times it does in the scripture, but it can also be a figurative use of that word, representing something else. So it can be used figuratively to depict a time of anguish, a time of despair. So the night time for some people in some contexts will be just that. A time of anguish, a time of despair, a time of gloom, resulting from an absence of divine guidance. Okay? So that's what that word means. Okay, so I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night. So in the times when you're having anguish, let's use it figuratively. If you're having anguish, if you're having despair, if you're having pain, uncertainty, your heart can instruct you in those rough times, in those difficult periods, in those times of trials, but only if you have the Word of God deposited there. Are you with me? That's why we need to know God's Word. We need to know it. We need to know the Word, and we need to not just know it, but we need to have it deposited into our hearts. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. All right. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. I just saw it. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. To give every man according to his ways, to reward according to the fruit of his doings. And this is God speaking. So God is looking past your actions and is looking right into your heart. So you can be doing good things and have a rotten heart. And God is seeing the rotten heart and said, no, you know what? I can't bless that. Because the heart is wrong. The heart is what God is after. That's why David's brothers were rejected. It's not according to how tall you are, how experienced you are, how mature you are. Not even if you're the firstborn, which God has a lot of respect for in the Bible. But he's looking past everything else and he's looking right into your heart. And this scripture says he's also testing the mind. Now, I'm not going to go too much into that because of time. And I want to get somewhere today. All right, but our heart is very important. Your heart is the well, it's the reservoir. It's where the Word of God needs to be sown and kept. And that's why the Bible says, keep your heart. I don't know if that verse has come up. With all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Watch what you are putting in your heart. Because it will inadvertently have an effect on your life. You will get what? Only what you put in. What you put in will come out. You put in bad words, you're going to get bad fruit. You put in good words in your heart, I'm talking about, then you will reap the goodness of that, the results of that in time. So, key number three, putting faith in our hearts. So, we know that, we said it last week, what faith is, how it comes, and why do we need it. We said that all last week. So how do I put faith in my heart? And by the way, we already said that, you know, without faith, you need Hebrews 11 verse 6. It is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know that if you're going to please God, you need to have faith. If you're going to do anything for God, you need to have faith. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have. We dealt with this last week. I don't need to go over it. But now we're talking about how do I put that in my heart. And all of this, by the way, all of this, I've taught before. More than once. I just paint things up with a different picture because I know sometimes we can forget. I can forget. So if I can forget, anybody can forget. And sometimes we need to be reminded, okay, of certain things that we need to be doing. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do I put faith in my heart? First of all, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Come on, say every word. Every word that proceeds from what? The mouth of God. So the Bible says, Jesus was speaking here actually, and he was speaking at a time when he was being tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came right up to him and tempted him three times. And all three times, Jesus overcame him. How? By the word, by using the word, by speaking the word. by declaring the word. And that's how we ought to live. Man cannot live by bread alone, going out there working to buy bread to eat, buy clothes to wear, buy drink to drink. That's not the way we're designed to live. Okay? It's more than that. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the Bible teaches us how we should live. That's why the Bible says again, the just shall live by faith. Okay? Quoting from Habakkuk, the Old Testament. Alright? The just shall live by faith. So, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. It says this, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. That's mercy and truth. Bind it around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. We all know that the Ten Commandments were given on tablets of stone. And here in the New Testament, here in the book of Proverbs and the times we're living in now and under the New Covenant in the New Testament, we're told to write God's word on our hearts. And that's what we're told here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Write them on the tablet of your heart. How do I do that? Psalm 45 and verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition to the king. And then the verse ends by saying, my tongue is the pen of what? A ready writer, somebody who is ready, somebody who is prepared, somebody say, yeah, I'm going to do it, I'm going to get up and go and do whatever I need to do. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So how do I write God's word on my heart? By using my tongue. I'm using my tongue. That's why I encourage you to speak out God's word. You've got a problem, you've got whatever it may be, whether it's a money problem, whether it's healing, whether it's a job situation, whether it's a relationship situation. I've told you to go to God's word, okay? Find the promise, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself too much now. Find the promise, write it out on a piece of paper, write it somewhere where your eyes can see it, and then use your mouth to speak what God has already said. That's what you do. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. So let's look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Because there are two forms of meditation that we're going to briefly talk about. Muttering and musing. But Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And verse 2 says, but his delight, come on, say delight.
Delight.
His delight, what he's happy about, what he's cheerful about, is in the what? Law of the Lord. Let's pause there a minute. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's happy operating in the word of God. It's not a chore. It's not a big heavy thing for him to do. But his delight, this is the man who delights himself in the Lord, is happy about what he's doing. His delight is in the Lord. He is excited to get into God's word. He's excited. Now let me see, what is God going to say to me today? What is God saying to us today? What does the word of God say? He delights in getting into the law of the Lord. And in his law, he's not just delightful, but he meditates in it. Hey, the Bible says day and night. Day and night. I could say so much more on that. Let me move on. So much more I could say on that. Day and night especially. Psalm 19 verse 14. Here we go again. Let the words of my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. One who buys me back, the one who's paid the price, the purchase for me to have a relationship with God again. What a redeemer is, someone who redeems. But it's let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the meditation again, of your heart, cannot be acceptable to God without the words of God being on there. So, we've got to have faith. Key number one. Key number two, we've got to look at the condition of our heart. Something is wrong there, get rid of it. And we've got to put God's word in our heart. That's key number three. Key number four then will be to release faith. Come on, say, I will release faith in Jesus' name. You've got to do that. To release faith in Jesus' name. So I'm going to talk about confession. And I'm going to talk about this and releasing faith and see how we get on with this. All right, so now John 6:63. Let's start off with the basics. It is spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are. You better understand this, folks. And that's why the Bible has a lot to say about idle words. Do not do that. Do not speak idly. The thing that you continuously say, oh my God, it's so poor, it's bad, I'm not going to get through, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to make it, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. Why are you calling forth sickness upon top of your sickness? Why are you declaring something negative that is already there? That's what the Bible tells us to do, and I'm going to come to that hopefully today or next week. Today, it should be today. That's not what God calls us to do. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? They're spirit and they're life. Your words have power. Your words are spirit. They go into the atmosphere. And when you continuously say, you create your future. You create the path on which you will live your life. Now, what the devil will do is the devil will come and try to sidetrack some of us when you've been saying it for a week. And nothing's happened. Same with your sickness. Where they pray for me and nothing's happened. And now you've gone right into negativity. And now your words become death rather than life. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are where? Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it, you love to talk, you're going to eat the fruit of what you say. So what you do is you don't confess the negative. Oh, my marriage is bad. Oh, my job is bad. Oh, this boss, and you criticize your boss, you criticize your boss, you criticize your boss. Yeah, your boss might be a horrible person. I think we've all had them on some level or the other. I know I have in the past. But what you do is you pray for them. And I don't get one amen. You notice, I don't get one amen. You pray for them, man. That's the correct response. You pray for them. You keep your focus on Jesus. I'm going to talk to you about... No, let me not go there. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your focus on the Lord, on the Word, on what your part of what you should do. You don't focus on the negative. You focus on God's Word and leave the rest to God. Man. I could tell you stories going way back to my BT days of, you know, things that happened to me and things I've had to do. And when God begins to bless you, how people can hate you and despise you and talk about you and criticize you. All right. Romans 10 verse 9. We said it earlier, didn't we? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we looked at that. And here we go again. So, how to release faith? Confession. So, we're talking a lot about confession. So, let's briefly look at that. And that's what the screen is. Just one screen. And it's talking about confession. Alright? The Greek word used for confession is homologia. Alright? Homologia. And it means to say the same thing. It means to say, whatever God says about the situation, that's what you say. Whatever God's word says, whatever God's promises say about the problem, that's what you say. You say the same thing that God has said. So if God says you're healed, guess what? You declare out of your mouth that you are healed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say the same thing. A couple of scriptures here. Let's have a look at them. Briefly, because I think we looked at this one again as well. Oh yeah, we're going back there now. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth, confess with your mouth, confess with your mouth, that if you speak it out with your mouth, because we're talking about the word of God is in your heart now, you've got to meditate there, you've got to mutter it, that's how you put it there. I didn't give you any scriptures for that, but you know, it doesn't really matter. You put it there by meditating on God's word. Okay? By musing and muttering on God's word. And Joshua's going to come and sing a song for us right now. Alright. So, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I've said this already, how many times am I going to say it? And then, Romans 10 verse 10, the next verse, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, there's that word again, confession, saying the same thing. Okay, remember now, one is a verb, and the other one, I'm talking about salvation, one is a verb, and one is a... The salvation here, which one is it? Romans 10, 10. Salvation, what is it, verb or noun? Now, that's it. Yeah? And verse 9 is the verb, the thing that God does. Talking about salvation. But it's here again because confession is involved, those verses. So you've got to say whatever God says. So you've got your salvation package, okay? And whatever God has said, that's what's in your package. So if God says you're healed, guess what? You got your package, and guess what? Healing is in that package. Are you following me? Church, are you following me? I hope you are. This is why I break this down, because, you know, and I said I've got a lot of information, but I really want you to get this. You've got to say what God says about the matter. You've got to release from your mouth the final verdict. And the final verdict is always what God says. So if God says you're healed, you confess that you're healed. Well, what will happen if I die? Well, if you're going to have that, and this is where I'm going to talk about some of these words, the enemies now of your confession next week. Because if you're not fully convinced, and you're not in faith. Because faith is, remember now, what is the, let me ask. The Greek word for faith, we said it last week, is pistis. And it means firm persuasion. To be fully persuaded. Not halfway persuaded, but fully persuaded. So we've got to be there. And we've got to understand that you can't release faith out of your mouth until the word of God is there and that you're believing what is in your heart. Meditation and muttering places it there, but it gets it into your spirit. When you're muttering something, you're saying it under your breath. So you're repeating the thing under your breath, over and over and over and over again, quietly, maybe, to yourself, maybe, to someone else, maybe. Yeah, but you're muttering it. When you're musing with it, the other form of meditation is musing, you're playing with it. And there's a few instances of that. I won't go into that now. In the Bible, there's a different words. I thought there was only one. There's more than one word for muse. I saw that this week when I was looking up some of these words. And it means to play with, you know. You know, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sing it. You can talk it. You can speak it quietly. You just do it. You know, I can do all things. You play with that word in different ways. You're saying it over and over and over again until you know that you know that truth that you are saying. Can I get an amen? I got to move on. I hope you're getting this. It's been recorded, so please listen to it. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. Wow, that's important. Let us hold fast the same thing that God said. Let us hold fast the thing that you've been declaring. Don't start speaking your healing and then stop. You're complaining about the pain in your leg and that's all you complain about. You're complaining about it more than you're talking about the healing that God has already provided for you in that leg. No. Hold fast the confession, the same thing that God says of your hope. What is hope? Expected end. What are you expecting? If you're expecting to be healed, hold fast to it. Okay? Through the word of God and what the word that's deposited there in your heart. Start saying it. Start confessing it. Start declaring it in the name of the Lord. But hold fast to it. Don't let the devil or people talk you out of it. Without wavering. without wavering. Up and down, up and down, up without wavering. If you're wavering, you're not in faith. Because you're firmly establishing the truth of God's word and what God says about the situation. You've got to know that you know that God will provide finances for you if you need it. You are believing for finances right now. For something. Join up. And we're believing that God will provide for us. But we've got to hold fast to it, because sometimes, you know, when you're saving up for something or you're believing for something and then suddenly something else happens and a big bill comes or an expense comes. Anybody been there? It was me. And then something comes and it seemed like, oh, it's going to interrupt it. Oh, I'm saving this or that. And now I've got to see my voice change. And now you're going to use that for this because that is more important or it's more urgent in your situation and so forth. But what you can't do, and these things happen, you've got to learn to juggle, but you've got to stay firm in your faith. God will provide. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Say, neighbor, don't worry. God will provide. Tell him that part, man. God will provide. Don't worry, man. Why shouldn't you worry? What is worry? Worry is a negative meditation. What else is worry? You should know this. Oh, my God. What is worry? We already said it's negative meditation. What else is worry? Write it down. Write it down. Come. Write it down. Worry comes from an Old Saxon word. It's not even on my notes, but let me give it to you. Worry comes from an Old Saxon root, which means to strangle and to choke. You remember that? Because I mentioned it so many times. It means to strangle and to choke. Every time you choose to worry, write this down. When I worry, I am choosing fear over faith. Because that's what worry is. I'm choosing fear over faith. Worry is negative meditation. Worry is a route that leads from somewhere to nowhere. Before you began to worry, you were somewhere. At the end of worry, you are nowhere. Write those down. I think that should be enough. So we don't choose to worry at all. We choose to hold on to God's word. This is why we've got to write this down. This is why we've got to sow it on our hearts and repeat it over and over and over again. Because God, the Bible says here, Hebrews 10:23, who promised is faithful. Now the promises are written in God's word. And if God said it, our response is got to be, I believe it. And then that should settle it. Someone once said years ago, God said it, so that settles it. No, it doesn't settle until you settle it. And you settle it by believing it. Can I get an amen? God said it, all right? But you've got to believe it in your heart. And remember now, when you believe something, you're acting on that belief. It's not just a mere mental apprehension. You're acting on that belief. So God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Say that to your neighbor for me. Come on. Turn to somebody else and tell them. Now this is something that I've quoted over the years. And I know this by heart as well. And I can't remember the source of this. I think it... What's his name? Oh my gosh, his name slipped me. Sorry, who? Right now I'm looking at his book. But anyway, this is so true. God's word, conceived in the heart, formed with the tongue, and released out of the mouth, or spoken out of the mouth, releases the ability of God. Read that together for me. Ready? Read.
God's word, conceived in the heart, formed with the tongue, spoken out of the mouth, releases the ability.
How many people want the ability of God to be released in their life? That's what you got to do. And that's why the Bible is teaching us so much about now how to release faith. There's no such thing as faith being... Write down Romans 14:23. Could somebody look that up for me? When you find it, just raise your hand. I'll come back to you. That just came right to my mind. Romans 14:23, I can't remember what it says. I've not got the notes here or anything. It just come right to my mind. But it's very significant, maybe. That's why the Holy Spirit brought that to my mind. Romans 14:23, I hope I'm right. No, I'm right. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm right. Sorry. God's word conceived in the heart, formed with the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth, releases the ability of God. All right. Now, let me pause here. All right. Anybody got that? Romans 14:23? Yeah, there you go. And that's the part. That's why it came to me. Did you hear that last part? For whatever is not of faith is sin. Say that with me. Ready? Say. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Say it again. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And that's important. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that. Thank you. The context there is food, but it's a principle. And so the principle cannot be applied in any situation. Okay? And it will work. I'm going to do something now. Richard, could you come here for me, please? Thank you. Joshua, I didn't know you were going to be here today, but I'm going to use you as well. I hope this works, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. Could you come up for me? Now, forget the fact that these are my sons, okay? As you can see, they're both handsome sons. They take after their dad. Grandma, clap. At least one person. All right, now, could you both face the congregation for me, please? It's okay, Josh, don't worry, man. I know Richard as well, don't worry. Now, Josh, Richard, you're a Christian, right? And you're giving your heart to the Lord. So, you have the salvation package that God has provided for you. Can you see it with your physical eyes? No, you're so sure. No, you can't see it. Can any of you see your salvation package with your eyes? No, you can't. You can't. But do you believe you have your salvation package?
Yes.
Right. And that's why our faith is important. Because remember I said to you last week, if you can see it, smell it, hear it, taste it, touch it, it's not faith. Faith doesn't operate in the sense realm. You got that?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, fine. So you've got a salvation package. And you can't see it, but I'm God. Yeah? Because I choose to be God. And I'm telling you, alright, that the salvation package has been provided for you. Alright? Now, I'm telling you that salvation package is right there. So I'm going to instruct you now to slowly go and take that package, but Joshua, I'm going to tell you to try and stop it from getting it. Alright, don't be too rough with one another. Don't spoil my example. So do you see what Joshua's doing? What is he doing?
Blocking.
He's blocking him. So what did Richard do? Richard stopped. But what should we do?
Keep going.
And then what should Richard say? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Use your authority that whatever is God. So Richard said, and so the hindrance has to remove. And maybe it won't go immediately until you get your salvation package under that pink sheet. Right, okay, fine. Thanks, Josh. You can see. Give him a hand for me, please. The Lord's sitting here for a reason. Come, Richard, where are you going? Right, so Richard now has the salvation package, okay, that he didn't see before. He now has access to it because he was believing in his faith. Follow me with this. Okay? Because that's where we all are. God has already provided for it, but you've got to go for it. But you've got to realize that there is an enemy who wants to stop you. There's an enemy who wants to block you. There's an enemy who doesn't want you to get that package. You're not just going to get things all the way like that free. Remember, who is it? Daniel? It was Daniel, isn't it? He was held up for 21 days. The prayer? Oh, God. The angel, yeah, was held up with the answer of Daniel's prayer when he prayed for 21 days. God said, I heard you from day one. And now, you know, the angel was coming with the answer, but he was held up in the spiritual realm. So, the answer is there, folks, but you just got to press in. And the devil will come and try to tell you, no, that's not going to happen. No, you're not going to be provided for. Nah, see, they prayed for you last week, nothing. And they prayed for you last month. You've been praying for years and nothing. I met people like that, literally in my life, that have given up on God. Because their faith wasn't in God, it was in people. And in famous people. And in well-known healing evangelists. Their faith was in them to come and to heal. And when it did not happen, they gave up. But our faith is in God. Amen? Amen. Come on, say it out loud. My faith is in God.
My package is from Him.
So we each have a salvation package. Richard, it's his birthday on Wednesday, by the way. That's what I called him for. It's his birthday on Wednesday. So this is part of your present, okay? So open that package for me. Open it. It's yours if you do what you want with. Just open it and open the box. And inside that salvation package, Richard now has access to it because he believed that he was going to do it. Because even though there was opposition, he used God's word. Just like how Jesus used the word to overcome Satan 3 times, he used the word to overcome whatever hindrance that there were. So could you read out what's in that side of that package for me, one by one?
Provision, soundness, healing, safety, protection. Provision, access.
And access. And if you give me these sheets, these little pieces of paper. So lift up that and watch us. There's another piece of paper underneath that.
Everything gained and nothing missing.
Say that again for me.
Everything gained and nothing missing.
Come on, say with me. I have everything gained.
I have
nothing missing.
Nothing.
That's what God's provided for you. Sorry, that's what God's provided for you. Give the Lord a clap. So, everything gained, nothing missing. So sometimes, God provides for us even what we didn't ask for. Anybody been there?
Yeah.
Alright, so the same thing here. So now you have something that God's, well, I provided for you. Well, I'm glad I said that earlier. Okay, so that's yours. So use it as you see fit. Record what God is going to be doing in your life. Because there's much more to come in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you write it down and use it, and happy birthday when it comes. God bless you. Give him a hand clap for me, please. I hope you understand what I just did. We all have a package, but what we've got to do is now we've got to lay claim and lay hold of what God has provided for us. You've got to say it. And you've got to get it into, you've got to be patient. And that's why you notice in the healing ministry of Jesus, the Bible says, and in that hour, sometimes it wasn't immediate, but by the way, that's not even a good example. You know why? Because the majority of people that Jesus healed were not Christians, they were unsaved people. And even then, the Bible says, within that hour, it didn't say immediately. Some healings, we know it happened immediately, but within that hour, they were healed. Time and time again, we see that in the New Testament. And what we've got to do is we've got to lay hold of the thing. Remember now, Richard can see it. We've got the salvation package. Our senses can't see it, but our heart believes it. Why? Because God's word says it. And that's why we said that. God's word says it, so I believe it. And that settled it. Let's have a few look at the spirit of faith. And then I'm closing. Because time is up. How to release faith. Your faith will never rise, Kenneth Hagin Sr. said. It will never rise any higher than your confession. You want your faith to rise? Confess, speak, declare out what God has said about the matter. Whatever the problem is, find the corresponding promise from God's word, meditate on it, mutter it, muse it, get it in your heart after removing whatever clutter is there, whatever unbelief is there. Get it into your heart, and you do that using your tongue. Then you release it out of your mouth. You say what God's word says deliberately in the face of opposition. And you say continuously, continuously, continuously until it manifests. That's how you bring spiritual resources into physical, material blessings. And we can't get lazy to do that. Oh, man, okay, they didn't work. You can't get lazy to do it. No, you say it until you say it, until you say it, until you say it, and you say it until you manifest in Jesus' name. You know by now, when I had acrosteal joint dysfunction, I didn't get healed immediately. I walked with that limp to go to the garage to pick my car up. I've shared this with you so many times. And I believed what God's word says. and I confessed it, even though the doctors, the professionals told me I'd never walk again without a limp, because my bone was rubbing on bone. And when I turned to God's word, I saw that healing is provided for me. Whose report do you think I was going to believe? God's report. And that's what I did. I put his word to work in my life. I said what God said in my life. And it happened when I was blind in my eye, you know, and the doctors again told me I would never see, because a vessel had ruptured. I think it was an artery, had ruptured at the back of my eye, and one eye was blind completely and stayed like that for weeks. Doctor said you'll never see again. The word of God told me all things are possible if you only believe. Whose report do you think I believe? The God's report. Did it happen automatically? No. I went to God's word and I did it. I did what I'm telling you to do now. Get God's word in your heart. Believe it. Know that you know. And then when you know that you know, when it's in your spirit, you speak it out against that thing. And you put everything and everybody else to shame. And God gets the glory. Amen. We serve a good God. See, your faith will never rise any higher than your confession. E.W. Kenyon said, confession builds a road over which your faith, over which faith holds your cargo. Faith is a container of the thing that you're believing for, but your confession is the road upon which it rides. See, you've got to confess, you've got to say what God says. And faith is very, very, absolutely vitally important. By the word of the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 6, the heavens were made. What God tells us to do is things that he did and he wants us to do. Psalm 138 verse 2, for you have magnified, listen to that, you've magnified your word above all your name. And then I mentioned these, I'm not going to go there, but the story of the 10 lepers. They cried out to Jesus. Jesus wasn't even near them. And then Jesus said, go show yourself. They shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. Because that's what they had to do in those days. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. What did they do? They obeyed. They heard the word and obeyed. We've got to listen to the word and obey. Not criticize, not doubt it. And I'm talking about that. That's one of the enemies I'm talking about next week. Alright, we've got to believe God's word and we've got to go for it. Blind Bartimaeus, when people tried to shut him down, and he shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, be quiet, who do you think you are? This is Jesus, the son of, this is Jesus of Nazareth. What are you calling him for? And the Bible says what? He cried out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says that Jesus stood still. He stopped. He got his attention. Because he dared to go against the crowd. He dared to believe that if Jesus was doing all these miracles for people, he would do it for him. And because he dared and he stepped out and he cried out with his voice, he received his miracle. Mark 10, 46 to 52. Woman with the issue. Excuse me. Woman with the issue of blood, the same thing. She had it for 12 years. She came quietly in the press and she believed. I've got water here, thanks. And she believed, and as a result of her belief, and the Bible says, yeah, sorry. Thank you, God. Is that sympathy cough? I heard somebody. You know, when you have a baby, the baby choking, and you're your mums know what I'm talking about. I just heard two people do that. Mom and Joy. No, no, it's okay. You see, that's empathy. See, I'm talking better already. My wife and my mother-in-law. Look, you know the story. You know the story. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. But she came and she said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. I don't need to change. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. You know how we can touch Jesus today? By faith. Not so much what you do, but it is what you do. You can touch him by faith. If only I can touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made well. And what happened? She was made well. Read the story when you go home, Mark 5, 25 to 34. I am not moved by what I see, I am moved by what I believe. Very important statement. Unbelief is taking sides against God's word. Earl Nightingale, he was an author, speaker, and a radio personality. He said most people tiptoe through life hoping to make it safely to death. Wow. Talk about homeless, hopelessness. And the last one, and this is it. I love this verse. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in what? The prosperity of his servant. Let who shout for joy? Those who favor God's righteous cause. And let them say continually, not start and stop, continually, let the Lord be magnified, because God has pleasure in my prosperity. The last screen is this. If you have any questions, please use our question box at the back of the church. Faith never goes beyond the question mark. So if you have questions, you've got pastors, you've got elders here. We can help you, we can point you, we can pray with you. And sometimes you need to come out of the familiar and go to those who God placed over you to help you through certain things. Don't let pride take you somewhere else. Because we all need one another. Can we stand on our feet?